Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Buzz around artificial intelligence is seemingly everywhere. Is your portfolio keeping up? Consider the GlobalX Artificial Intelligence and Technology ETF, ticker AIQ, which invests in dozens of stocks at the leading edge of this disruption. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. Technology companies can be affected by rapid product obsolescence and intense industry competition. Before investing, carefully consider the fund's objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and more in the full or summary prospectus at globalxetfs.com. Read carefully. Distributed by SEI Investments Distribution Co.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to The Art of Kindness, where we have compassionate conversations with artists from all areas of the entertainment industry who are using their voice to spread joy and make this big spinning planet in the sky a better place to be. I'm Robert Peter Paul, and I'm so glad you're here. Hello, friends. I'm so excited to be back with y'all today. Y'all, am I Southern? Can you believe it's September already? As the winds of change blow in and seasons shift, I know it can be a tough time of year for people. Personally, I love the fall season. You know I've been drinking pumpkin iced coffees and asking for the leaves to change colors for over a month now at least. I have to remind myself, though, that summer is still here. It's technically not over until September 22nd. Did you know that? Do you remember the 21st night of September? Sorry. It's the 22nd, not the 21st anyway. We're going to help close out summer on a nautical note with today's guest. A lot of the incredible work he does gets more spotlight in the summer because it has to do with oceans and beaches. Well, you'll see. Today I am talking with the actor Ronan Rubinstein. Doesn't that just sound like a leading man name? Alliteration at its finest. You'll recognize Ronan from his starring role in Ryan Murphy's series 911 Lone Star, where he plays TK, the son of Rob Lowe's character. It's a pretty groundbreaking role for network TV. Playing TK, an openly gay fireman, on the show inspired Ronan in his own life, which we talk about. We also discuss the fantastic work he's doing to bring awareness to issues surrounding the ocean as ambassador for the Ocean Cleanup, a nonprofit that's developing advanced technologies to rid the world's oceans of plastics, and for Project Zero, which aims to raise global awareness and protect at least 30% of the ocean by 2030. Fun fact, Ronan even drives a hydrogen car, which I totally did not know was a thing, but I'm gonna need him to hook me up with one ASAP. Ronan has a lot of interesting things to say about a variety of topics, and it was such a pleasure to listen to him and learn. So I hope y'all do the same. Whoops, I totally just said y'all again. Without further ado, please welcome Ronan Rubinstein. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
I'm excited to do this, man. I like the topic very much, and I'm flattered because this is a brand new podcast. So thanks for having me as one of the first guests.
Well, first of all, how are you at taking compliments?
I'm half and half. I like giving compliments, I think, more than receiving them. But you know, with sort of this fan base that I've been very, very, very lucky to have. It's a lot of compliments, and it's a lot of extremely sweet, you know, whether it's comments, videos, photos, GIFs, I mean, you name it. So it's been 2 years of compliments. So I'm trying to, I'm trying to enjoy them and take them in. And yeah, but I, you know, I get a little shy about it sometimes, but these people are just so lovely and sweet. So I can't complain.
2 years of compliments. May we all have that. That sounds so beautiful.
I wish that for everyone.
I like to ask that question because I'm about to lay it on thick and give you a compliment. I won't make it too long and drag it out and make you nervous, but I just want to thank you for being your authentic self and for always giving back in addition to that. So I'm just in awe of the work you do both on set and on the sand with the ocean. And I want to talk about all that. But first, I would love to know, as someone who just like radiates kindness, what is your definition of kindness?
Man, I think it's just looking at people as people,
yeah.
You know, no judgment, just no negativity, you know, just giving everybody a fair shot. And then, you know, I always say it feels better and it's easier to be kind than to be, you know, shitty or negative or mean. Being mean takes way more energy than being yeah. kind. And it feels good to be kind, especially if it's, you know, returned. And, you know, I think a big thing is if you just put out kindness and positivity without expecting anything back, it sort of just finds its way back naturally, you know, and I think people react better to kindness and positivity. And, you know, I'm in a very difficult sort of path of trying to get really important and controversial messages across to people. And what I've learned over the years, you know, whether it's talking about climate change or racial equality or social equality, or I mean, you know, if you're trying to take on saving the world, it's not a very easy task. So I've sort of figured out that the best way to get across to people, especially people that may not necessarily think the same way I do, is to do it in you know, in a way of kindness and positivity, because I don't think people react well to somebody wagging their finger in their face and telling them, you are wrong, you are bad.
No.
I don't think people react well to that. But if you try to sort of take it from an angle of kindness and positivity and make them, you know, almost see a different perspective without yelling at them or without, you know, being like, you should do this.
Mm.
I find that that works much better. And then you're able to get more people on board and get more people to think, you know, in a different way and maybe see, you know, oh, wow. I think there is a point here, whether it's any of those topics. I think that method works best because, you know, it is difficult conversations. It's difficult topics. And, you know, we still have people out there that don't believe in climate change. There's still people out there that don't believe that there's racism in America. And it's mm-hmm. sort of like, how do you get across to those people? You know, because it's much easier to be like, well, forget those people. We don't need them, you know, but it's like, if we really want to get somewhere, we're going to need everybody on board.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of kindness. And I think kindness is a very powerful weapon. And, you know, I think we all should be using it.
It is. Yeah. It's such a powerful practice. And I love that response because it seems like you're truly using kindness to change the world, which mm-hmm. unfortunately we do have to change it a lot. Exactly what you're saying is true. I mean, the people that we need to reach are the ones we don't agree with. And unfortunately yeah. with social media and, you know, all this divisiveness in our country, it's so hard to do that right now because no one's listening to each other. So to take a step back and be empathetic and truly listen is a really smart approach. Have you always had that? You know, did that start growing up? Was there a role model or maybe a moment of kindness that stands out to you as like truly changing your mindset? Or do you just feel like this is always who you've been?
I mean, you know, I grew up in a super loving family. You know, obviously we had our rough times, but you know, my mom is like, she's like the definition of mama bear.
Yeah.
And you know, I was pretty much raised by my grandma, my mom, and my sister. You know, my dad always worked. And, you know, and even my dad, when I was, you know, a kid, he was, you know, he was Papa Bear. So I always sort of had that in my life, you know, just like kindness and love and affection and being just nice to each other. And then, you know, I think as I started growing up, especially in America, because, you know, I came to America as an immigrant. So I think mm-hmm. learning just how to be was, you know, was really difficult. And I found, I guess, and subconsciously, it was like, well, if I'm nice to other kids, maybe they'll be nice to me, or else I get, you know, in a fight. which yeah. many of
so I it's think, a different podcast.
Yeah, different podcast. So I think that just sort of something that was, you know, instilled in me. And then, you know, as I grew up, I was always like the nice, like bad boy when the rest of my friends were like kind of troublemakers. I was a troublemaker, but I'd always be like the nice guy or the nice guy. And, you know, that's just something that I held on to. And then obviously, you know, with like inspirations of like, you know, whether it's Kobe or whether it's, you know, music that I listen to, it's like they usually come off really kind and positive. And I just, again, it just feels better. It just feels better and it's easier to be kind.
Yeah.
And trust me, I'm not always kind. There's some people that I don't know if I'd be able to be kind to.
Yeah.
Because they just don't deserve it. But you know, I for the most part, I do try to practice that at all times. And you know, I also was raised with animals, and I think having animals is I would recommend 2 dogs per person.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I need a dog right now.
Or cats, whatever you want. I think just having these innocent, like naturally good creatures around you at all times, I think that also will let you practice kindness and just being a good person. Because I don't know if you know from like my social media, I'm obsessed with my dogs. I truly consider them my children. So it's like... Yeah, so all of that, I think, together.
They are.
I think all that together sort of culminates into what I practice today.
I think that's actually great advice. Get a pet, everybody. If you don't have a pet, get one.
So they have a friend.
That's even better. I'm trying to get a dog right now. We got a hamster at the beginning of quarantine. We kind of looked at each other and we were like, we're going to need a pet if we're stuck inside. And so we ran to Petco and we got a hamster, which was like my mini dog.
You got to be nice and sweet to the hamster. They're really cute.
Yeah. Is this like these sentient beings that just rely on us? And there's none of that bullshit like we were touching on, you know, to get in the way. And at the core, I like to think most people would help someone regardless of what they believe. So,
yeah. And I think negativity and being a shitty person is all taught. I think I'm a big believer in this. You know, I think all these negative things that we're experiencing right now and seeing in the world, all that is taught.
Mm.
You know, or it's they were inspired by somebody. You know, nobody's born racist or, you know, misogynistic or homophobic. Like somebody had to tell them, hey, that's bad. You should not take part in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all very much puppies when we're little. Yeah. And then it's the same. I use this metaphor all the time. You can teach a pit bull or any dog to be a fighter, but then you could teach like my pit bull Fresh to be literally a living teddy bear, you know? And I think the same goes for humans.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's why it's so important to have these conversations, especially with a lot of younger people that are going to watch this and follow a lot of my stuff, is that I don't want them to grow up believing all this really negative, horrible stuff, because I'm sure, you know, a lot of them have that influence around them. And there's just no point for that.
Yeah, there's no room for negativity. And if you find yourself in a position where people are saying you're putting out negative stuff, you have to take a look at yourself, because it's all about that person. If someone's throwing hate at you, it's not about you. It's about them and what they're going through and what they've been taught, like you said. So I think that's exactly right. We all need to take a look at ourselves and really do the work.
And I truly believe, man, it's like I've been doing this activism thing for, you know, almost 6 years now. And, you know, you learn. And look, I'm not perfect either. But I mean, I think the thing that I've learned the most is even when you're fighting for really good causes, if you approach it with a negative sort of angry attitude, it's not going to work as well. You know, if you go from it with a educational and positive perspective, because again, it's like people have a hard time listening to people if they're just going to yell at them. And even if you're fighting for something really good, you've got to find that sweet spot, you know, like how do you get your point across? How do you, you know, still come off educational and positive. And, you know, that's something that I take great pride in, you know, and sometimes my God, do I not want to be like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, that's it's not really productive to do that. You know,
it's
how do you teach someone, or how do you show them a different perspective instead of just yelling at them? And I think that's something that a lot of people who are trying to, you know, do this activism thing, I think they should really try to take a look at themselves about like, how can we do this, you know, in a different way, because you're not going to get your message across to as many people as you should be.
No. And I love that you just brought up teaching too. And you also mentioned Kobe. I was wondering for you, as you've progressed in your career, you've also been fortunate to work with so many incredible creative people. Who is someone that you've either always looked up to for the way they conduct themselves, or that you've just seen on a set and you've tried to emulate, or that you just admire?
Man, you know, there's definitely been directors that I've come across that I just love how they handle a set, and I see sort of, you know, how actors react to it. And a lot of the time it's, you don't really have to say much. It's, you just lead by example. But I mean, obviously the biggest one is Kobe. You know, I think his, just this unrelenting passion and determination to be the best that he could possibly be, while also chasing the greatest of all time, which is Michael Jordan. I think that's something that I've taken great pride in. And I think the biggest word that always jumps out to me when I talk about this is discipline. You know, if you're going to be an actor and if you're going to take this seriously, you're going to need discipline. The circumstances, sort of the situations that we're thrown into, it's like, if you don't have discipline, I think you're going to crumble, whether it's the hours or the actual content that we're, you know, trying to portray. It's intense, man. You know, it's like, yeah. I always refer to actors somewhat as athletes, especially if you're shooting, you know, 7, 8, 9 months, you know, it's like a full season. You know what I mean? If you don't have that self-discipline, unless you have an incredible, like, you know, role model with you or somebody on set, like, you're pretty much doing it by yourself. You know what I mean? And I just think he was just locked in. You know, I feel very much like when I'm on set or I call it in work mode, I'm very much locked in. You know, I'm very hard to shake. And I take that completely from playing sports my whole life. I take that from Kobe. And, you know, I really do look at actors as athletes, and you need that sort of longevity and that discipline and that, you know, repetition and all those things that make an athlete great, I think can make an actor great as well. And, you know, and I have my people that, you know, I always chase and I always look up to. And, you know, I think Kobe did the same thing. And it's just something really productive to, like, just continue to look ahead and, you know, have goals and have, you know, a lot of things that you want to accomplish. And, you know, I want to win 5 championships, you know, whatever that means, whatever that means in acting terms. You know, I just want to be as great as I could possibly be. And then, you know, just do really good work. And I think you could, again, translate that to sports and to, you know, music and art and anything. I think just, you know, just being the greatest version of yourself and striving to be better every day is literally his, you know, his mantra. So
yeah
you know, he's the biggest influence on me for sure.
I know for me as an actor, and I talk about this a lot with people on the podcast who are like leaps ahead of me, who's like hustling out here auditioning, but we talk about this all the time. It's so hard with rejection not to get down on yourself. Do you feel like having that focus and just constantly looking, keeping your eye on the prize, I guess, for lack of a better term, is what helps you not, you know, deteriorate and self-destruct? Or is that something you still deal with?
Man, I mean, there's been times where I'm literally broke and I'm like, I will take any fucking job, period. Yeah. You know, and it's hard, you know, it's easier said than done of like just staying positive and just be like, you know, I'll book a job, I'll book a job. You know, after 6, 8, 10 months of not working, you're like, oh my God, like, what is going to happen? You know, and it becomes a very scary place to be. And I'm sure most actors have that feeling. I think the actual percentage of like working actors, I think it's like 2.something%.
Oh yeah. Which, it's so small.
Which is terrifying. You know, so it's like, that means 98% of actors aren't working and are experiencing this sort of like this world of like rejection and what are we going to do? When's our next job going to come? When's our next paycheck going to come? So yeah, it's a very scary place to be in, but I think you have to have this like blind stubbornness and self, you know, belief, because at the end of the day, nobody else is going to have that. You know, it's like you have to believe in yourself all the way before other people start believing in you. You know, and before other people start seeing you as, you know, as a hireable actor, you know, it's because at the end of the day, it's still a business and it's, you know, it's a crazy business to be in. But, you know, I think in the beginning, you do need to have that like blind determination and stubbornness of like, I'm going to work, I'm going to do good work, I'm going to do this thing, you know, you know, but in the meantime, don't just like believe in that and do nothing
and sit on your couch. Yeah, you got to do the work
and do nothing to better yourself as an actor and as a human and, you know, all those things. So it's like, it's definitely both, you know, it's like, what's the saying? Like
preparation meets opportunity. That's so funny. So many people are saying that on this podcast, which I think should really hit it home for listeners because yeah, it's true.
If you weren't, you know, grinding, even if it didn't mean that you were technically working on a set, if you weren't grinding, you know, all that time that you're not working and then that big project comes along, you know what I mean? Like for me, for example, it was like a 911 Lone Star. You know, if I wasn't grinding off screen and trying to be a better actor, you know, just overloading myself with, you know, whether it's movies and technique and all this shit, it's like, if I wasn't ready for that opportunity, I would have never gotten that part. You know what I mean? And it's like, you have to be ready because at any moment, the beauty of what we do, at any moment, it could be the job.
Yes.
That's what's crazy about what we do. You cannot work for 10 months and then all of a sudden, for example, a 911 Lone Star comes around and then your whole life changes literally in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really is preparation meets opportunity. I believe in that very much.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Did you know honeybees are responsible for more than 35% of the foods we eat and the honey we enjoy? And yet they face challenges year after year. September is National Honey Month, and to celebrate, my friends at the National Honey Board have launched Honey Saves Hives. They've partnered with several U.S. food and beverage companies who will each make a donation to Project Apism, the largest honeybee nonprofit in the country. This September, when you purchase select Made with Honey products from participating brands, you can help save honeybees! Participating companies include Companion Baking, Justin's, Lost Cause Meadery, Miele Water, and Purely Elizabeth. All you have to do is buy one of their delicious Made with Honey products. It's as simple as that. So please join me in helping to save the honeybees this month by participating in the Honey Saves Hives program. Visit honeysaveshives.com for more information. That's honeysaveshives.com. Thanks, honeys.
And I loved so much reading about how the work on 911 Lone Star helped you in your real life and it helped you come out. Do you remember the moment that you knew it was time to come out? Was it reading the script? Like, was there like a switch?
I think I thought about it season one, but you know, to be completely honest, I didn't want to come out and then take a lot of the attention away from what the show was doing. And how important the show was and like being super inclusive and having literally like historic characters and historic actors on the show. And I just didn't want to really pull that attention away from, you know, all the incredible things that Lone Star did season one, you know, whether it's Brian Michael Smith, whether it's, you know, it's Natasha, you know, like their characters are literally historic for network series regulars, you know, and again, you know, being in a Ryan Murphy world, it's like the content and the characters are so important and they're so much bigger than at that time what I thought was my sort of story. And I just didn't want to pull any attention away because I truly understood how important Lone Star was for television, for network television, for people all over the world that have literally never seen this kind of stuff on, you know, on one of your common channels. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I thought about it, But then I was like, you know what? The time will come. And I think the thing that I say the most to people is, do not rush yourself. Do not put, a clock on it. Like, when it feels right, when you feel fully comfortable, when you feel fully safe, especially if you have people around you that you can be comfortable with, because, coming out to the world is fucking scary. I'm not going to lie. So then when season two came around and, I had a lot of time to think about it. And, I've spoken to, at this point, probably, tens of thousands of people from the LGBTQ community from all over the world too. And most of them are kids. I think that was the biggest part of like these kids are sharing the most intimate, terrifying stuff with pretty much a stranger, just somebody that they see on television. And it's like, I see what the show and what the character is doing for them, And I was like, well, if I share my truth with them, it could only help them more, and it could only help maybe the community even more, because I have a large platform and a large voice. And it's like, maybe it's more productive of me not hiding it anymore, and it surely seems to be like that was the right decision. I'm able to really talk about it more and fight for the LGBTQ community. It's one more thing for me to fight for and have an actual personal and authentic story to share with the world, because I know that it's going to help people. And I know that it's helping people, from the moment that article dropped, It's whether people coming out to their parents or people just having conversations with their parents or their loved ones. And, I think the biggest thing that I take away from it is it's definitely not just kids anymore. It's grown men in their 50s or grown women in their 50s and 60s and 40s and 30s. And that's the part of it that boggles my mind, is that it really does reach everyone. I'm just forever grateful for sort of situation that I was placed in, because it really did give me the confidence. And I always say, the world was in a perfect place. And if there still wasn't a bill being passed every fucking month to whether it's taking away healthcare or just not letting people work because of who they are, it's like, I would probably be private, to be completely honest. I'm very much a private person when it comes to that kind of stuff. And I don't know if I would have necessarily shared my story with the whole world, because it is scary, man, but that's not the case. And we need everybody to, to share their story in order to make the world a better place, especially the LGBTQ community, who's been oppressed since the very beginning. We've come a long way, but there's still so much work to do in our very own country. And I'm not even talking about other countries where it's still illegal to get married. I mean, what are we talking about? I think it's extremely important to share our stories. And that's why just seeing 2021, how many people have finally come out. We have the first openly gay NFL player. I mean, that's incredible, because how many athletes, especially football, are probably hiding that they're, gay or bisexual or whatever, because it's such a taboo sport to be gay or lesbian or transgender. And it's, it's time for that to change. And I think he's so fucking brave for doing that.
That was amazing.
It was nice to see that the response was very positive.
And you're still getting those positive responses. I mean, just in prepping for this and scrolling through, stalking your Instagram, people are still commenting. People are still commenting, and thank you. 2 years of compliments. I think it's going to keep going.
I literally read every single comment like a crazy person. And it gives me, I think for me, it gives me an opportunity to actually connect with the fans and to see the human side of them. And, just curious to see what they say. And, I simply like their comments. And, I know it's such a big deal for them, because they feel seen. When I think a big issue that I have with celebrity culture is, I think a lot of these celebrities, especially younger celebrities, they see followers as just a number. Mm-hmm. And I think they forget there's humans on the other side of that phone or computer screen, And a lot of them are young people that need help and need somebody. I think they're literally yelling out for somebody to see them. And I think what's really sad is that when these people have, millions or tens of millions of people that look up to them and they see them strictly as a number, it's really sad. It's something that I will never do. And I strongly believe against it. And I get to read their comments and get to see sort of the immediate effect of what I'm doing. I think that's the beauty of social media. And also, not to mention, it lets me get rid of a lot of shitty, negative, just ignorant, gross comments. And I always say the power of the block button is, it's a beautiful thing, man. And it's, yeah. and it's, it's a way to filter out, you know, these people that it's just like, I don't want you to follow me, to be completely honest. You know, I don't want you to be a part of what I'm doing, what we're doing together. And, you know, I have a very strict no hate zone when it comes to my social
media. I love that.
And the fans love that, you know, and they always hashtag no hate zone. And so it's just a way for me to connect even deeper with them. And it's amazing.
That's incredible. And I love how you use your platform to push out such wonderful things to people, you know, whether it's your work with the ocean cleanup and Project Zero. Can you talk to me about when your love for the ocean started? Like, how did you get involved specifically with this cause?
My love for the ocean was always there. You know, I was born in Israel and lived there until I was five. So, you know, we were going to the beach all the time. Subconsciously, the ocean was, you know, a major part of my life, especially in Israel, where it's super hot. Like, you were always on the beach, swimming in the ocean, being on the beach, that whole environment, that whole, you know, experience. That's just something that I grew up with. And then in Staten Island, New York, we always lived very close to the water, like literally walking distance. And then, you know, in 2012, all of the boroughs in New York got destroyed by Hurricane Sandy. And, you know, I lost my house. We literally lost every physical thing you can imagine. I also almost lost my parents because they were stuck in the storm.
Oh.
I got out like 24 hours before.
I'm so sorry.
Our entire neighborhood was submerged underwater for 3 days. And, you know, it's something that I still can't quite like even believe it happened, especially to see a person and to be in it. You know, I saw firsthand the power of the ocean and what happens when the ocean is not happy and when the planet's not happy. And, you know, it's completely man-made. Like, the negative effect on the planet is man-made, I should say. And so I think that sort of caught my attention, obviously. And then I started, you know, slightly learning about, like, what is, like, why is this happening? Like, what is even climate change? Like, what is this global warming thing that people are talking about? You know, this is in 2012. I just turned, I think, 19. I remember as if it was yesterday. We did not celebrate my birthday that year because there was nothing to celebrate. It was a very dark time.
Huh.
We were literally living off the Red Cross and like eating from the Red Cross. And it's like, it was gnarly.
Wow.
But then, you know, 2016 came around and I saw Before the Flood, which is Leo's documentary on Nat Geo. And dude, literally, as if it was like all the stars aligned, everything clicked for me. I remember, again, as if it was yesterday, watching that documentary and be like, holy shit, this is my purpose. First of all, he's one of my favorite actors, and I respect him at the highest level as an actor. But then I learned about what he's doing as an activist and as an environmentalist, and I had no idea. To be completely honest, I had no idea. The fact that he's, you know, sitting down with Bill Clinton at like the age of 21 after coming off Titanic, and like that's what he's dedicating his time and energy on. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, look what he's doing. You know, like if he could do that, like why isn't everybody else doing it? It also happened to be when my first show aired. It was called Dead of Summer. So I, for the first time ever, had somewhat of a platform to talk about these things. And that's when it all clicked. And, you know, I found out that the ocean is our biggest ally when it comes to climate change. And, you know, it also covers most of the planet. So it's like, if we can protect and save the ocean, we can get a really good handle on global warming. And, you know, that's where Project Zero comes along. That's where ocean cleanup comes along. And, you know, it's just like the ocean is the most important weapon that we have. We should all be taking care of it.
It's so true. I mean, like you, I grew up always by the water. I was a lifeguard growing up at the Jersey Shore, which is a different story, but we used to do like little beach cleanups and that kind of thing. What would you say for people out there listening is just an easy way for them to immediately take action, especially when there's so many things people want to do right now and so many causes people support? Do you have, you know, any go-to action people can take? Because we all love the ocean. We all have to make this better.
I think, you know, it's two things. It's like you can clean up beaches and you can do that. But I think until the source of where all this garbage and pollution is getting into the ocean, I don't think anything will get fixed. So, you know, I would say just educate yourself on what it is that's ending up in the oceans. And, you know, for me, the biggest thing I always see is styrofoam and plastic. It's as stereotypical as you could get. But it's true. It's like 99% of what washes up on the beach. It's styrofoam and plastic, and it drives me nuts. you know? Yeah. So it's like, if you want to get involved with organizations that, you know, battle plastic pollution or styrofoam pollution, do a lot of research and find organizations that take part in that, you know, and like Project Zero, their whole thing is creating ocean sanctuaries, which are essentially the same concept as, you know, forests that are protected by the government. So we have all these forests that are protected by the government, but we barely have any parts of the ocean that are protected by the government. So, you know, I think the more we start educating ourselves in that and getting involved with groups like that, I think we can make a huge difference. You could donate or you could get your hands dirty. You know, I like very much both, you know, and if you're not able to donate, I suggest trying to get your hands dirty, you know, maybe work with a company or maybe, you know, major in something in school. You could be a marine biologist, you know, you could do something amazing where you're actually boots on the ground, protecting the ocean, saving the ocean. And then again, I think for fun, you know, if you're at a beach, just bring a recycling bag just for fun. And, you know, if you see any garbage around, just pick it up and you'll feel better. And, you know, I guarantee you that Mother Nature will really appreciate it as well. But yeah, you can do any of those things or do all of those things at once.
Yes, do them all. Do them all. I love that. That's everything you're saying is amazing. And is it true you drive a hydrogen car? He does not just talk the talk. He walks the walk. Like that is, I don't think I've even heard of that.
I've been driving a hydrogen car since 2019. My house has been solar paneled since 2018. So, you know, you can take those big moves. You know, obviously it's like solar panels in California. There's all these amazing incentives. So it doesn't become actually like super expensive. Hydrogen cars are now available, unfortunately, only in California. But, you know, the plan is to move east. You know, so there's Hyundai, Toyota and Honda. So, yeah, you could do a lot to make a big difference. But I just went all the way because, you know, it's you could also be vegan and, you know, you could really go all the way, practice what you preach. Because before my hydrogen car, I had a very fast gas guzzling sports car. And I thought to myself, I said, I can't be doing this and driving this thing. So I completely changed my lifestyle and very much practicing what I preach.
So that's amazing.
You take the extreme and do all those things. So yeah.
Yeah. If you believe in it and you're an example of that. Okay, Ronan, it is time for a surprise game. Are you down?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So basically, this is called the compliment game because I haven't given you enough of those already. I will not be giving them, though. I reached out to someone in your life for a compliment about you. Oh, I'm going to read it to you, and you have to guess who said it. We'll say you get three yes or no questions, not that I really know any of the answers, and I'll give you two guesses.
Everyone is beautiful in their own way. It's the compliment game on the AOK. Okay. It's the compliment. Compliment game.
Bump.
So whenever you're ready, I'll read you your quote. It's pretty good.
Okay.
I think it's going to be pretty easy. When I'm in a scene with Ronan, I feel supported and really seen. He loves the make-believe and magic of even the smallest moments. Working with him makes me feel like I'm a kid playing with my friend. That's all I ever want out of acting, to work with people who dance in the magic. Oh, and isn't he a cutie? That's it.
Huh. And isn't he a cutie?
I feel like that's telling. Maybe.
Are they on the show?
Yes.
Boy or girl?
Girl.
So I think it's either... Oh, yeah. So how do I answer this?
You just say a name. I'll tell you if it's right.
Is it Brianna?
Yes, Brianna Baker. Nice, yes. You nailed that.
Because I as soon as you said, isn't he a cutie? I was like, Rafa wouldn't say that.
I tried to reach out to him. It gets harder when you're just doing creepy DMs. And then when you reach out to publicists, that's even harder. Sometimes you don't get an answer. So I did try with a bunch of people, but she got right back to me and she was like super pumped. So thank you, Brianna.
That's amazing. That's such a lovely compliment. That's like the greatest compliment you could give an actor.
Yes. Yeah. That you live in the magic.
Cool.
You got a lot of elements of magic. Just to wrap things up, would you mind leaving us with a kindness tip, either a specific way to be kinder to yourself or to other people? So one example I've given is that sometimes I like to start my day with a talk, not like a TikTok, but like a text of kindness. So I'll just pick a random person in my phone book and just be like, hey, I love your laugh. I mean, it's not that creepy, but like, you know, something nice. oh gosh. Yeah. Maybe it's creepy. They never answer me back now that I think about it. No, but if you have anything like that you could share that might be helpful to our listeners, that'd be awesome.
Well, I think a big thing that I've been telling people a lot, you know, whether it's like through conventions or cameos, it's take the time to be kind and gentle to yourself first, you know, especially with the year that we just had. It's been like literally a ticking time bomb, and the pressure has been the highest probably ever. So I think if you take the time to just be gentle and kind to yourself and patient with yourself, I think that's probably the most crucial part of it, is just being patient with yourself and, you know, yeah, not putting all this pressure on yourself and you know, like you can strive to be better every day, but, you know, just don't overload yourself or don't overwork yourself. And if one of these days you just feel like, you know, just being lazy or, you know, you don't want to do much, like just listen to your body, just be kind to yourself. And then I think that helps you practice being kind to other people.
Yeah, I love that. That's so important. You can't give from an empty cup. And honestly, you must have a full cup because you give so much. I mean, reading about you and you know, just following you is crazy, all the stuff you do.
I got gallons of kindness.
Well, he was drinking a big Evian bottle throughout this whole thing. It was big.
It's from my water.
Yeah, that wasn't a plug, although they can pay me. I don't care. I'll take it. But thank you.
That'd be amazing.
Look at that. Let's put it out there.
The only water company that's carbon neutral.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So their water is really good for you, but they're carbon neutral. And that's like the biggest.
That's amazing. It's worth the extra bucks.
Yeah, for sure.
But thank you so much for taking the time to talk. Okay, and man. Yeah, I look forward to seeing what you do next.
Well, you will.
I will try to see it with my eyes. All right.
All right.
I'm the worst at ending Zooms, honestly. I think my podcast should just be called Awkward Zooms.
It was super lovely. It was just really easy. People need kindness more than ever right now. So I'm glad this is your theme. So thank you, bro.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
And now it's time for your kindness tip of the week. Thank you again, Ronan. You opened up the conversation to so many important topics, and it was a pleasure to learn from you. Definitely check out the organizations he mentioned here. I'm going to include some links in the show notes, and be sure to catch him on 911 Lone Star, which airs on Fox. In sticking with our episode theme, today's tip is to recycle. I know, you've heard that since you were a kid, but it's vital. If you're sick of hearing it, there's one way where you don't even need to worry about recycling, and that's if you eliminate the amount of plastic you use and your waste. Reducing your carbon footprint is an act of kindness to the environment and everyone, because this is our home. There's ways to make this fun, too, especially if you have little kids running around the house, which Cassie does because I am a kid. Take the one bag challenge. Get your family, your coworkers, whoever, to only produce one bag of trash per week. If you make the challenge, reward yourself with an ice cream party or pizza or, yeah, didn't think you'd get away with not hearing me talk about food, did ya? Anyway, please be kind to the earth. In the same vein, if you're not feeling your best, as I've previously mentioned, I know September is a really hard month for people. I suggest going outside and taking in our planet's beauty. Take a walk on the beach. Go through the woods and tree bathe, as my grandma always tells me to do. I promise you that going to nature, literally to our roots, to the trees, always makes you feel better. If you try this or any of our previous kindness tips, which I encourage you to go back and listen to, please let us know on social media. We are at Art of Kindness Pod and at Rob Peter Paul on Instagram. And would love to connect with you so we can continue to form our kindness community. Oh, audio hug. Until next time, remember, everything's gonna be A-okay.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all gel fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit www.juvederm.com.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.